Hey, this is John Bollinger with Premier Guitar, and it's an honor to be here with absolute bass legend, Verdeen White. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, John. Thank you.
Absolutely. Good to be here. Good to be here. Now, why don't we start talking a little bit? Now, throughout your career, you really influenced bass players, I mean, across the board. You kind of changed the game. And I know back in the day you used to play Fender Jazz, didn't you?
Right, I played Fender Jazz, Fender Precision mm-hmm. in the beginning, because that actually was the only thing that was around.
Sure, yeah, they kind of invented the whole...
Well, it was the beginning of really, not the beginning, but sort of the first part of bass guitar, mm-hmm. you know, was at the beginning. And of course now I play Roger Sadowski.
Sure.
You know, I've been playing Sadowskis now for almost 15, 20 years now, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Which I love a lot. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Like this one right here.
Right, and this is my signature model, the Verdeen White model. And it's great, it's really great, sounds great. And it's for my performing arts center out in Los Angeles and things like that. So we're gonna be doing a lot of work with that because, you know, to help young people get back into music, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And kind of take the place of what's been left from schools.
Right.
Because, you know, we all grew up, you know, learning music in the schools.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that's great. And that's right, I was reading about your philanthropy and how that you're really right. leading the charge mm-hmm. in that.
Absolutely, keep the fighting well, of good fight of this good music.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Well, tell me about, so this bass, you can see the influence of like the Fender Jazz
absolutely.
And the Precision.
Absolutely.
And you kind of combined.
It's a combo, absolutely, you know, because this is kind of, you know, Roger actually started out, from what I understand, doing, you know, pickups and preamps and basses to, you know, to give them more life.
Sure.
And
hot rodding Fenders, essentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's right. Hot rodding. That's right. Hot rod. That's right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. That's a good point. And right. The classic car thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Muscle cars. You know, taking those old engines out, putting them, zooping them up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So they can just do more than they were originally designed. And that seems like that's what this
absolutely,
is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
so what's the basic kind of control setup you have?
Well, you have your highs, you have your mids, you have your lows. You can cut actives on or take the actives off.
Oh, wow.
I prefer actives because, of course, playing live to cut through. Mm-hmm. And actives sound great on record, you know what I mean? And for me, you know, so it just gives a punch for my style of playing. For
right.
my style of playing.
Yes. And you went with that kind of slimmer jazz style.
Absolutely.
Neck.
I sort of kind of picked up from that, you know, because that's how I started. And then that's, you know, I wanted to kind of continue that on. And then Roger, you know, has worked with me for so long, and that, and actually, to be honest, I'm actually a better bass player because I've worked with Roger.
Wow, well, that is, I mean, that's amazing because, I mean, you're such an influential player, and so many people have learned, taken their whole thing from what you were doing.
Yeah.
And it's still, and you still feel like you're growing.
Absolutely, I'm still growing. And Roger, me getting into the aesthetics of the bass, getting into not only what it does as a player, but what it means. Mm-hmm. You know, the craftsmanship.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I really got into that part of
it. Cool.
You know, and it really made me actually play better. And then I took a bass lesson in New York a couple of weeks ago.
Really? I met the bass teacher who was freaked out. That
No, he wasn't freaked out. No, he was a taskmaster. It's the great Ron Carter. Huh. For all of those that, you know, want to Google him and things like that. He played with Miles Davis, all that. So, and I'm originally a classical player.
Sure.
And Ron's jazz and classical. So I went over to the house in Manhattan and took a bass lesson. No, he wasn't freaked out. I was freaked out.
He wasn't intimidated?
No. Ron Carter, you kidding? I was intimidated. And he gave me my instructions, and he sent me on my way.
So you started on upright?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
And I still have one at home.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And Ron gave me strings so I can restring my upright when I get back to Los Angeles.
That's great. Did you ever play upright on any of the Earth, Wind & Fire songs?
I didn't, know, but I did a upright on an artist named Jimmy Vincent, a song called Space Traveler, for Caribou Records, and I'm playing upright on that.
Very cool.
I've used it a couple of times on I Write a Song Live with EWF, but I haven't in a while, you know. And you have to leave them home now because upright, you know, the freight will kill you.
Oh, right.
The freight
right.
will kill you. The freight will kill you.
Yeah, yeah. That's like moving a piano.
Yeah. right. Yeah. Absolutely. That's yeah. right. Especially today.
Right. Especially today. So. Originally, Sadowski, were you playing just one of his basses, and from there the whole signature thing kind of came about organically?
Yeah, I was playing one of his basses, and my white one, which is I modeled that off,
right.
this off of that, and you know, just sounded great, and he came up with the idea, and his son Sam Sadowski, cool cat, Sam's yeah. cool, Sam's cool, you know, helped in with the idea of talking with Roger about it, and Sam and I met in Paris. Last year to kind of go over it, and so it just turned out really, really good.
Cool. You know? And is this the prototype or the first?
No, these are the first ones. So we have three out here, and then I'll be taking it back to LA to the Performing Arts Center, which I have in Los Angeles. And then, but on stage every night, I play two of them. Mm-hmm. I play the white one, which I've had since like 1999.
Wow, great.
And then I have a red one, which I just had. I've had it for a couple of years. Huh. So I go. I do the. The other white one is sort of like a Rolls Royce. It's just kind of settles in.
Right.
You know, it settles sure. in. And then the red one's like a Ferrari on the back end of that show. When you start getting down to, you know, September and Let's Groove and Boogie right. Wonderland, that bad boy can, it shifts.
Oh.
So that they all, you know, the one thing about basses, which I did learn, Roger would never let me buy one off the rack. Huh. I said, Roger, I'm going to get one off the rack. He said, no, I'm going to make them. They all have different characteristics.
Sure.
That's what you learn about them. And then when the white one's like really settled, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, you know, Rolls Royce, fine wine, it's yeah. really settled, it's confident, it's secure. Yeah. That red one, as soon as I got that red one was like jumping out of my hands. and it's like a Ferrari. So I use that one for like, you know, when I really start pushing it, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
About a month ago, the CMT Awards. I was actually the music director for the little band that was.
We did them.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys blew the roof off the
yeah.
place. I mean, it was a fun award show, but when you all came on, it was just.
And we did it with Lady Antebellum.
Yeah, Lady Antebellum.
And her bass player, Dennis Edwards.
Yeah.
Great bass player.
Yeah, well.
He plays the Roger Sadowski, too.
Yeah.
And he's got bass is beautiful, just a gorgeous bass. And he plays Roger Sadowski, and we were having some Sadowski talks.
Oh, I bet.
Know? So those of us in the business that knows about the bass, yeah. you know what I mean? Everybody, you know, it's a great. Oh, you play Sadowski? Oh, my God. Let me see how yours is built.
Yeah,
you know
like, what I mean? Like a family.
It's like a family, because when you play that bass, it's like playing a Stradivarius or
right.
a Bösendorf or Steinway.
Yeah. How cool. Mm-hmm. So you're traveling with three of them, and mm-hmm. you change towards the end of the night, and you have the other one is kind of a backup? Or
Yeah, I have backups,
yeah.
you know what I mean, just in case something happens.
Sure.
In the middle of the show, when we switch up, you know, we switch because anything might happen. Your
sure.
wireless might go out.
Yeah.
The strap might break.
Sure.
The other night,
Well, you're a very dynamic performer.
Yeah,
too.
I'm pretty hard on basses.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
yeah.
hard. I'm hard on basses. Yeah. I'm hard on clothes too. As you can see, I have no holes in. They had these. They were regular pants before we got together. But you know what I mean. I'm pretty hard on basses. Yeah. You know what I mean. It went out one night, but we switched in 30 seconds. Nobody ever knew.
Your tech was there
absolutely.
Ready.
And then in Chicago. I fell on stage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, on the end of the show, right? Yeah. And I kept the bass up. I said, I can't break this bass here. So the two things I have to say was that night was Roger Sadowski and my front tooth.
Oh, no.
yeah. No, but it was right. It was great. It was great. It's the hazards of the yeah. of the live performance.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's a contact sport.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So what is the rest of your rig like? From your bass, you're running a wireless unit.
Right. Absolutely.
And then going, are you running many pedals or
I'm not doing a lot of pedals. I'm kind of going straight.
You straight
know, I'm
into
some effects, but I'm
yeah.
going kind of, you know, clean, natural sounding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For the kind of work that I do. You know
sure.
what I mean? My requirements is to make my bass sound exactly like the records.
Right.
To make it sound like the records.
Well, back, say, in, I don't know, September, was that like 79, I think?
Yes.
What was your rig like back then?
Well, in the studio, which I still do today, I use a B-15.
Really?
I don't use, it's not fancy, it's straightforward.
Standard B-15, of the industry.
B-15, straight to the board.
Yeah.
active on one side, natural on the other side.
Yeah.
Then we can mix them together. And then what happens when you're in the studio with these, you know, engineers have a tendency to want to tinker around. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, I didn't have to do anything. I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I did this, right, Flo Rida with Robin Thicke. I don't like it, I love it.
And, oh, right.
And then I just recently used my Sadowski on the Kelly Clarkson record, and it sounds really good. And the engineer that night said, I don't have to do anything. I said, yeah, there's nothing to do. You know, when you're playing a great quality bass, you know what I mean? It kind of does the work for you.
Well, and if you're a great player, absolutely. And if you're not a great player, all that stuff, your problems will become apparent. You know, when you get
that's true. Absolutely,
you're
right. The better the instrument, the more you're sort of like, you know, you're on the line. You know, it's kind of like tennis gear. If you got like really good gear,
yeah,
as your tennis player.
Terrible tennis player.
No. Yeah. You'll know if you got a good backhand or not, right?
Yeah.
It's a very simple for me, the B-15.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a new B-15, but I have my original one when I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
How great.
Yeah, but it's clunkety, clankety, clunkety, clunkety.
Sure, it's got to be a little grouchy. By
now. Grouchy. It's got a lot of buzz on it, and it's not really playable anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Well, that thing should be probably in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it should be. It's in my trophy room at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I have a lot of stuff in there. Yeah.
I bet that is a full trophy room.
It's like a museum.
Yeah.
It's like a museum, and there was a guy. Who delivers the water, Arrowhead water, and
sure.
He came to the house,
yeah.
And he didn't know I was. You know?
Yeah.
And he says, this is a museum? I said, yeah, yeah. And he said, do you work? I said, yeah, yeah.
That's great. So today, in your live rig, are you running a B-15 and a direct sign?
That's for studio, but I'm doing, you know, SWR.
Oh, okay, SWR.
I still got the big, cabinets, which is sort of reminiscent of the old acoustic cabinets.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I still have an acoustic bass, too.
Oh, cool.
I've got almost every acoustic amp. I got
really?
Almost every amp in that was ever there. I still got the one with the horns on it.
Wow, yeah.
And then the fuzz thing on it.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, that was a killer sound.
Absolutely. What happened, I got it because I saw Larry Graham.
Uh-huh.
And then when we signed with Columbia Records, Maurice came in my bedroom and we had, you know, gotten, you know, enough money to kind of get things. So what kind of amp you want? I said, I want that one that Larry Graham's got. and about a week later, you know, it came and came to the house. And, you know, you had to pull it down back.
Oh.
You remember it had the handles?
Yeah.
And then I didn't.
Huge, big gear.
Big, huge. But then I didn't have a case. So the bass player from Ricky Nelson's band. Had extra cases, so I bought cases from him.
Oh, really?
And he still had Ricky Nelson's band.
We were just talking about Ricky Nelson. This is synchronous.
Yeah,
we
man. Yeah, yeah.
His kids live in Nashville.
Yeah,
now,
his twins.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I met them. I met them when they were on Geffen Records.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Ricky's kids.
Well, I bet. I imagine. I mean, with your career and your degree of success, and then living in L.A. all this time and working in the industry, you have at this point. Worked with everybody.
Yeah, that's the, you know, it's Los Angeles, of course, Nashville, New York, you know, these are like the epicenters of music.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And along the way, you know, because of being in California, you know, you meet musicians, actors, directors,
mm-hmm.
agents.
Yeah.
You meet everybody. So I've had opportunity to kind of, you know, rub shoulders with all types of people in what I've done, yeah.
So when you are not, when you're not on tour, and you're at home, do you get much chance to just play for fun?
I at least get a chance to practice an hour a day.
Really?
You know what I mean?
That's
you know,
great.
Out of my books, you know what I mean? Just in the books, you know, take notes.
Yeah.
You know, keep my chops up, keep my reading up.
Man, the reading thing goes quick. If
you don't practice, it'll go.
I read so slowly. I was never a great reader, but now when I do it so rarely when I do, it's...
Yeah.
I'm literally, you know.
But once you get into it, because it's really about disciplining the bars.
Yeah.
It's not going ahead of the bars. You just got to just read what's there and,
sure.
and, you know, just keep doing it. And then you read the other bar and you read the other bar. And then you go back and then, oh, yeah, the whole notes. Okay, four beats, the half notes, two beats. You know what I'm talking about? So I do that. And then I listened to certain records that I like of great bass playing, you know, and I studied bass guitar with a great bass guitar player, the late Louis Satterfield, who was our trombone player in the Phoenix Horns.
Oh, wow.
And he was Maurice's classmate in college, and I studied with Sat from the time I was like 14 to 18 before I came to Los Angeles.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Well, it is such an honor to meet you, and can't thank you enough, and can't thank you enough for the philanthropy and the way you're turning kids on to music and keeping it going.
Giving well, that's back. Our future,
yeah.
And it's our job, you know, to really inspire them because they want to be inspired.
Right.
And then with the concerts, you know, we have a lot of kids come see us.
Oh, yeah.
We have kids 7, 8 years old, 14, 15 now.
Well, like I said, that CMT award, everybody there when you all just rehearse on the run through before the show.
Yeah.
We, you know, when you're doing a show like that, it's the 9th time I've done it, and you never really know what it's going to be like.
No, you don't.
But when we heard you all and saw that, we thought, okay, we're going to have a great show.
Yeah.
Because when you end like that,
yeah.
When you end like that, it's going to be great.
But it was great, and we did the Crossroads show here.
Yeah, with, right.
You know,
who was the artist here with on?
That was Rascal Flatts.
Right.
Yeah. Late Antebellum again, yeah. Darius Rucker.
Yeah.
So it was a really beautiful experience. Really
yeah.
great experience.
How
yeah.
great.
It was great. It was great.
All right. Well, an honor. Thanks so
Thank
much.
Thank you very much. Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
Till next time.
Next time.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.